Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today, the title is Desperate Love, the story of
Chuck Walters.
Story of me and my right hand there, Timmy.
the story of Tony Joe Henry and Cowboy, her lover Cowboy. So, but before we get to that, it's a tale of love. It's a tale of mayhem, murder, and mayhem. It's kind of a sad story. My heart kind of bleeds a bit for Tony Joe, but we'll talk about that.
I think Tony Joe's pretty stupid.
No, she was very attractive.
Oh, well, that makes her not stupid, then.
I saw her picture, but I have to confess I have not read the story.
Well, then it's going to be a surprise for all of us, I suppose.
Well, much like you, general listener, I am in anticipation of a tale of murder and mayhem and hot women.
You know, Colonel, what you can do is after we record this, you can listen to it. Then you'll get the whole story.
I'll get the whole damn thing. Yeah. I'll be like,
I'm glad we'll be of some entertainment value to you. You know, the reason why I send these scripts out ahead of time is so you guys can read them.
I read mine, Timmy. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying.
I'm reading mine right now. What the hell are you complaining about?
Okay, let me introduce our panel. We have, to my left is the very lovely and talented, the mistress of the macabre, the empress of evil, Satan's dirty little secret.
Wow.
And whore.
The beautiful Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Not appreciating the nicknames. That's how I'm doing today.
Well, we'll let the audience choose your nickname. If our listeners will send us a nickname for you that captures your personality, we will, that, you know, that we can say on the air, we will use that nickname the next time. How's that? Is that fair enough? Because you've got some fans.
I'm a little bit high today, Timmy.
I know. You were. Brandy had a late night last night. You was at the emergency room.
You were a true.
I'm pretty sure you dedicated, just violated some HIPAA things there.
Dedicated professional to come in today to do this podcast. But are you still a little?
They gave me a lot of morphine. I'm still a little high.
Okay.
Which is fine. I come in, you know, most days.
Yeah, actually, and they should give you more morphine because I know.
They should give me more morphine.
Far less unpleasant than you normally are.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Or they should give morphine to the colonel and I.
Give us something. Hit us in the head with a damn hammer or something.
Yeah, because then you'd be more pleasant. But, Brandy, we're glad that you came in today. You're a true professional.
That's a true statement.
I would like to introduce your coworker and a man of many talents, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm displeased, Timmy.
Why are you displeased, Colonel? You seem
to sit around this table because you know what I had to do? I could have had my personal assistant down in my office get my computer fixed.
Yeah.
But yet I had to be there.
Right.
Then the show got put on delay.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read my script.
So
that's what it was. It was an opportunity missed.
So you're feeling a little flustered.
I'm feeling a little flustered. I'm feeling a little aggravated. But, you know.
The show must go on.
As the colonel say, I could always be Satan's handmaiden, like her over here, so I guess it's a good day.
And what is the role of Satan's handmaiden?
And correct me if I'm wrong here, Devil, but isn't the job of Satan's handmaiden to move his little forked tail, reading, give Satan a reach around?
My job is Satan's handmaiden is to fuck up people who keep running their jib. So,
I mean, isn't it hot?
That's my job.
Satan got the hot pecker?
You think she's into Satan porn?
Oh, she is.
Is there such thing as Satan porn?
I'm sure there is. There's Satan midget porn.
There's alien porn, right?
Hmm?
There's alien porn.
Alien porn, there's donkey porn, there's yeah. My Little Pony
the
porn.
The fact that you all know all this is concerning, but you know, you don't see me talking about it.
Okay. Colonel, any shout-outs real quick?
I got to give a shout-out to Beverly.
Mm-hmm. Lady Beverly.
Lady Beverly and her. I'm going to throw this in here because I usually... actually, we discourse from time to time mm-hmm. in Lady Beverly.
Well, that's
and Lady Beverly
has
a daughter.
Uh-huh.
And a girl, this might be the girl who cures cancer.
Really?
The girl's just a genius.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me about her grades, and I got two pretty damn smart kids, and I was embarrassed to talk about mine. Of course, I'm most
I was going to say, aren't you most of the time?
But, and I'm sure the feeling is mutual with your
well,
kids.
Well, yeah, they're not bragging about the Colonel a lot. My kids have listened to one podcast each.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Lady Beverly, we know that you're having a little bit of ailments, but you're just the same old lovely Lady Beverly that you always are. And she's a woman only like... maybe 40 years old or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I saw a picture because we're Facebook friends, but you know, I don't know how old she is.
We appreciate you listening, Lady Beverly, and we hope you're feeling better soon.
And a shout out to your daughter, your lovely daughter, and a shout out to our little friend, our little lady friend,
mm-hmm.
Dottie Scott.
Yes, she's still recovering.
Dottie Scott, who you tried to kill, Timmy.
I did not kill her. I did not. She had an unfortunate accident, and she is healing and mending, and she'll be anxious to hear our podcast. She loves our podcast. Also, a shout-out to Canute.
And always. Stone.
And
Storm. What the hell?
Stone.
See, I got my script, though. I'm off my game.
Yeah,
today.
He is. I also want to give some shout-outs quickly to... Allie, who, you know, she mentioned on our Facebook page that she is actually from Newcastle, New South Wales in Australia, where Catherine Knight is
from. Why do you keep getting in? What's wrong with you? Her name's Catherine.
Whatever. But you
whatever.
Know,
I mean...
really?
It's just the
wait a minute. Didn't you just have this whole discussion with your kids about... Her name's pronounced whatever.
But, I mean, when you're doing a story, Catherine, have you never seen a Catherine before, for God's sake?
Okay. Catherine Knight was the topic of our last podcast. And Allie lives in that same town, Newcastle, New South Wales. And she said her brother or maybe one of her relatives worked at the same slaughterhouse as Catherine. I'm not sure.
Well, thankfully, Allie never got slashed in the face by the crazy ass.
Yeah, Catherine was...
Catherine, for fuck's sake, Catherine.
Okay, we also want to do some shout-outs to Mary Ray, to Celine, to Marvin, our friend from Down Under as well in Australia. He says his wife, he loves listening, but his wife thinks that we talk over each other too much. So
what's that?
We would like to make a personal
sandwich
plea to Marvin's wife. Let's do it. Please, Marvin's wife, Mrs. Marvin, please give us another chance. And
come on, Miss Marvin, one please. More shot.
And Brandy,
what?
We're doing a shout out to Marvin's wife so that she will listen again. So
excellent.
Come on, Mrs. Marvin. This never happened to the Colonel before.
Yeah.
It happened one time.
We don't handle rejection well.
We don't.
Shout out to Brittany Nicole. And to Trish and Charlie, she has a podcast called Unblocked, and she's very active on our Facebook page. And
Unblocked,
yeah, it's really good. She it's actually professional. She interviews like authors and things.
So unlike ours,
no, not like ours at all. And it's called Unblocked. Check it out on iTunes. It's really good. And Scott, of course, with his Bastards of the Universe, is available on Podcast Garden. So if you get a chance. Check out those. I think that's all the shout-outs I have. Casey is going to be joining us soon, right, for a podcast?
He's very excited.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. So, Casey, we're looking forward to seeing you. Brandy, do you have any shout-outs today?
Not today.
Okay. So let's jump into the story here of Desperate Love, the story of Tony, Joe, Henry, and Cowboy. And... it's kind of a sad story, like I said. It's a romantic story, but there was cold-blooded murder involved. So, you know, for all you sickos out there, like that sort of thing, I don't particularly care for blood. I'm a romantic myself, but
yes, you're known for being a romantic.
Yeah.
So plenty of fish.
Tony Joe Henry was born Annie Beatrice McQuiston on January 3rd, 1916. That was just 2 days after the new year.
Very, very astute.
She was the... her mother was pregnant during the holidays.
She was, and it sucks being pregnant during the holidays.
Have you been pregnant during the holidays?
I have.
Okay, well, it's her mother was, obviously.
Well, pregnancy lasts 9 months, for Christ's sake. That means three-quarters of the people in the world are going to be pregnant during the holidays. Well, it ain't like it's a unique phenomenon.
No, but she was ready to drop if it was January 3rd. Anyway, she was born on January 3rd, 1916. She was the only woman ever to be executed in the state of Louisiana.
So you give away the ending of the story. You already ruined it.
Well, I'm really...
Could you do spoil...
It's a hook. It's a hook. It's to get, draw people in.
Could you do spoil alert for me?
Well, you don't know about the story, so it's all new to you. You haven't read it.
Well, my script here says trial and execution, so that should have been a...
Okay, anyway.
Should have been a clue.
Yeah.
Okay. We promised Mrs. Marvin we wouldn't talk over each other, so let's be good. So she was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. We do a lot of stories in Louisiana, don't we?
Because they're crazy people now.
Yeah, they're cool people, but crazy. She was a third of five children, which means there were two children, which were younger than her. She was described as being very spirited and full of energy as a child.
Which means she was a handful.
She was like Noah. Spirited and full of energy.
Yes, yes, spirited.
Like Brandy's little one.
Yeah. Anyway, her mother died of tuberculosis, which is also known
the
as...
The consumption.
Her mother died of the consumption when Annie was just 6 years old. Poor thing. And later her father remarried, and she didn't get along with her stepmother, so she was not happy with that whole, step-parent thing. Yeah. When she was 13, Annie took a job at a macaroni factory, which I guess that was where they made...
Nice. Macaroni.
I'm guessing they make macaroni there.
I wonder if they make the cheese there, too.
No, I think that's in a separate place, and then they bring them together. They merge them.
I wonder if it was elbow macaroni or regular macaroni. Did it say?
Spiral.
You don't really research these very well, do you, Tim?
No, I really don't. So, at 13, she went to work at a macaroni factory. And, you know, that's a pretty responsible position at 13 to be working in a macaroni factory.
Gotta make sure that shit bends just right.
But she was fired because the manager found out that her mother had died of tuberculosis. So, they were still...
That's when they had the stigma about the consumption.
Well, yeah, it was still, you know, there was no cure, and it was still a big problem. So she was fired at 13, and when her dad found out, he beat the hell out of her.
Well, yeah.
Clearly. That's what should have happened.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad.
Consumption-carrying little deviant?
She wasn't tuberculosis Annie.
And tell me this, Timmy. Last night... We're driving, and we got to go to the store.
I was in the hospital.
You were in the hospital, and this has to do with illness, so...
Yeah.
The Mrs. Colonel, she got a cold, and...
Did she have to go to the hospital?
Excuse me, the Colonel, see, you're getting something in his throat now. But the Colonel...
It's a pube.
I'm Why are you so vile and disgusting?
And you know, and then she gets all these comments on Facebook like, how sweet she is. Yeah. And how hard we are on her.
You guys are mean.
Could you be woman? Could you be delicate and womanly one time?
Be ladylike.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect that.
Curtsy for us, please. You should curtsy for us.
Yeah.
You should say curtsy.
I can't.
Curtsy.
I
can't. Yeah. So anyway, the Colonel in the van, in the SUV. She got an SUV.
Down by the river.
I'm in the Mr. Colonel car, so she got the nice car. And she decides, first of all, we go out to eat.
The Colonel Mobile.
The Colonel Wagon. And I order a drink, she orders a drink. And it's a soft drink.
I just want to interrupt. Oddly, I don't see this on the script anywhere.
It's important, Timmy. It's important.
Okay.
So
the story you haven't read.
I'm dozing off.
So the Colonel, this is something that is universal, and it's flu season, so people need to know about.
Somebody come rappelling in the restaurant during this story, because it's going to have to pick up here a little bit.
Okay. So the Colonel...
It's not really compelling at this point.
If you would let me finish, it would get compelling. So the Colonel and Miss Colonel order their drinks. She orders some raspberry tea, and I orders diet cherry ginger ale. Mm-hmm. And so they're both red. So she's been coughing and hacking and, you know, wheezing and everything for 3 days. And she says, I'm not sure if this is mine or yours. She takes a drink, and she's like, here, taste it. I'm like, you got the Ebola-infested straw. What the hell's wrong? And she's like, well, let me taste. And pulls her straw out of her drink, puts it into my drink, Timmy.
That's outrageous.
And I said, what the hell is wrong with you? Damn near 30 years. I had to get the waitress. I was like, could you get me one that ain't AIDS contaminated? Could you replace my drink?
Cause, really?
Yeah, because Typhoid Mary over here is all up in my business. So yeah. Then she decide. Now, when we take
I was sleeping on the sofa last night.
When we take the Miss Colonel car, Timmy.
Is that why you're grumpy?
She drives. Uh-huh. Okay. So then she decides on the way home, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to. You drive. So now I got to go touch her germy steering wheel. Mm-hmm. And then she's in the car in a closed contained area coughing. Coughing, Timmy. Coughing. Spreading her disease to the Colonel.
She's got some stones, that one, coughing in the car. Well, she should have had her head hanging out the window.
Thank you.
In the rain.
Thank you. She should have done that. Thank you very much. See, we finally found something we can agree on.
12 degrees.
So if the Colonel get a cold.
Outrageous, Colonel.
Miss Colonel. Timmy, you I know you didn't pass the bar, but...
I did not take the bar.
You know something about torts? Yes. Do you think the Colonel have action against her?
No. No, I think that she has. She has grounds for divorce, which is what she has. But okay. But anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Well, could we get to the story?
Yes, thank you, Colonel.
Well, if we didn't have to detour for that snore fest.
Yeah, that you know, I kept waiting for the you know the climax. It just never got there.
Yeah, he's used to that.
Yeah. Anyway, she was beaten by her father when she lost her job at the macaroni factory, even though it wasn't her fault. It wasn't poor Annie's fault. So Annie she was unhappy with her life. Her sisters were doing well in school. They became nurses. And her brothers took jobs as laborers. But Annie, she just was becoming more and more out of control. She was growing up. She was growing up beautiful. If you've seen pictures of her, Colonel, you know she was a very attractive...
She was hot enough.
Yeah, she was very
true. On the 4th of July.
Yeah, by the age 13, though, she changed her name to Tony Jo and started working in a brothel in Shreveport, Louisiana.
So she turned into a whore.
Well, I don't like to use that word.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to be judgmental. She was working at a brothel, and she was very popular because she was, man, at 13, though. Wow.
That's gross.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Thought of that, yeah.
But even at 13, she started using drugs. She was drawn to prostitution because it was one of the few things that she could do at that age, and she wanted to get out of the house because she didn't like, as I said, she didn't like her stepmother, and her dad was beating her. She used her look. She was very petite. She was very pretty, jet black hair. So... getting customers was not a problem for her. She started smoking, cannabis, I know that...
the devil's lettuce.
I know that Brandy's very familiar with that substance.
The devil's lettuce.
And she started doing cocaine. She started taking cocaine and created quite a cocaine addiction that almost killed her. And running in these circles in the brothels, she became familiar with Shreveport's underworld. So she got to know some of the more shadier characters in that area.
The more shadier?
Yeah, the shadier characters of that area.
The underbelly.
She was arrested several times in her teens, including once for assault. She assaulted a customer who apparently, I don't know if he didn't pay her or she didn't want to bother. I don't know what happened, but... She avoided prison because of her age. But despite her hard living,
yes,
she was one of the most beautiful women in Shreveport, Louisiana. And as I said, she had beautiful dark hair, green eyes, and was quite a catch. And the guys were fawning all over her.
Well, you know, at the age of 23, so she's been whoring for a while at this point.
Yeah, but she's still very young.
Well, she's very young, but you know, when you're a whore for 10 years, you look kind of.
Let's not use the term whore. That's so derogatory. Let's say.
So what?
They were. Right.
I mean, she had to look rode hard and put away wet.
No. She was beautiful. Even when they. I don't want to give away the ending, but even when they put her in an electric chair,
yeah,
she was smoking. She was hot.
She was smoking. Was she smoking?
She was smoking, Timmy. I could say she was smoking.
Yeah, well, she was very beautiful.
Let's talk about this love story.
Okay,
that it warms
the cockles of my soul.
Yes, Chuck's cockles.
Somebody warm my cockles, please.
For the love of
me. If I can't get a personal assistant, can I at least get somebody to warm my cockles?
I think Tony Joe was warming some cockles in her.
Let's talk about this.
I like Tony Joe. We're going to be nice to her.
So, yeah, okay. So she's working at a whorehouse at the age of 23.
A brothel.
It's
massage parlor.
Well, this says whorehouse. I'm reading the script.
Yeah, I should have edited it.
Okay. So at the age of 23, in the fall of 1939, picture it.
Fall of 1939.
Fall of 1939.
Depression just ending. Louisiana. Roosevelt is president. Louisiana. Huey Long is probably governor. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
know. Every man a king.
Yeah.
All right, there she goes.
I love my Huey Long.
And then she met Cowboy Claude Henry, 26. A down-on-his-luck boxer with a history of petty crimes and violence.
So this is a match made in heaven, it sounds like.
Oh, it sounds like it. And they fell for each other hard.
Yeah.
Cowboy actually ended up being a positive influence on young Tony Joe, helped her overcome her alcohol and drug addiction, got her out of the brothel.
See?
Well, yeah.
It was a positive influence.
And ain't nobody want somebody banging your girlfriend all day. What do you do? You know.
Yeah, but he did get her off of the drugs.
Awkward at cocktail parties.
It is.
When she shows up with another date. So Tony Joe credited the cowboy for saving her life. I wonder if this was it was one of those, you know, self-named monikers. Like, he gave it to himself. Like the Colonel or
Cowboy.
Yeah.
Well, and you know,
just walk around and call me Cowboy.
There's a cowboy in my book club, but I don't want to get diverted from our...
Okay. So the couple married on November 25th, 1939.
That was right before Thanksgiving.
It was right around there.
Yeah.
They honeymooned in Southern California. And the couple was extremely... They were just happy as hell.
Well, they were honeymoon. They were on their honeymoon.
But the cowboy had a past.
Oh. Well, so did the whore.
Don't call her a whore, please.
Dude, what is your deal with this woman? Stop!
You got a crush on the woman?
She's a very nice young lady.
She's
a little damaged, that's all.
Now we found it. She's got daddy issues.
If you don't, for our listeners who don't know us personally.
Oh, there we go.
Timmy, if you're out there, you ladies, and you like Timmy, and Timmy, he's a handsome man, I suppose. I don't know.
He's peculiar.
He's a peculiar
what
man.
Do you always say that for?
If you have daddy issues and you're damaged in some way,
Timmy will date you.
Or granddaddy issues.
Yeah, Timmy is the man for you because he takes in every damaged stray puppy he can find.
Look, you date one heroin addict, and all of a sudden you're labeled for life.
Well, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Upon returning from their honeymoon, they received a telegram to appear in court in Texas on a shooting charge.
Now, see, I just don't. I wouldn't respond to a telegram myself.
Well, not now, but you know, back in the day.
So they sent a telegram to say, "Hey, come on down here so we can arrest you."
Basically. There was a barroom brawl with an off-duty policeman mm-hmm. a few years prior, and there were some shots fired. Cowboy turned up at court despite Tony Joe's pleas to him to go on the run with her.
And that would have been a wise choice, I think.
Two trials. Mm-hmm. Both of them ended in convictions. In January of 1940, Claude Cowboy Henry was sentenced to 50 years in the Texas State Penitentiary. He was lucky he didn't get the chair. Texas State Penitentiary at Huntsville. A sentence which both shocked and infuriated Tony Joe, who had believed all along that her husband's story of self-defense and was almost certain of his acquittal. So she was a believer.
Yeah.
On,
so the honeymoon was over.
Yeah. On hearing the sentence, she vowed to get him out of jail and thus embarked on a series of most amazing criminal acts in which criminal acts, which in reality had no hope of success.
Yeah, it was poorly planned.
Upon,
to say the least.
Yes. Upon hearing the sentence of 50 years in prison, she shrieked, "I'll get you out, cowboy! Don't you worry!"
What did she say, Brandy?
She said, "I'll get you out, cowboy! Don't you worry!" How did you not hear me? What?
Well, we just like the accent. You kind of got a little twinge out of me there, devil. Well, I like the accent.
Well, that's
you.
Gross. I'll never do it again. She took her vow very seriously, moving to Beaumont, Texas, where they do not allow dancing, according to Footloose.
Was that in Beaumont?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Kevin Bacon went down and changed all that.
Well, he did. Yeah. Beaumont may have been the neighboring town where there was some Beaumont, Texas in there. So they either had the dance in Beaumont. It's been a minute since I've seen it. It's one of my favorites, though. So anyway, so she moved to Beaumont to be near her husband's new residence.
Well, his jail cell.
Whatever. Is that his residence? No, okay.
That's where he gets his
there, name. She plotted to get her man back.
See, that's true love there. You're calling all these bad names. She's a woman in love. She's just a woman in love.
She's a woman on a mission. She is just a woman in love. And she'll do anything.
Yeah, she will.
Tony Joe had contacts in the criminal underworld in Louisiana and southern Texas.
I see. Yeah.
She had contacts.
She was hanging around with Jack Ruby back then. Yeah,
and maybe. She immediately started making plans to spring Cowboy from his jail cell, despite being warned that the idea was hopeless.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a terrible idea.
Because she's not very bright.
Well.
She's a whore. So
just because you got a nice set of boobs on you don't make you smart.
Don't say bad things.
No truer words were ever spoken.
Yeah. Well, and, you know,
You know what? From personal experience, it's hard to have a nice set of boobs and be smart. It's hard. It's very stressful for me.
It's hard for the colonel as well.
Yeah, I know, clearly. Well, his boobs are new, though. When you've had them a while.
Hold on. First of all, listeners, I don't have boobs and she ain't smart.
You have man boobs.
What?
You have man boobs. It's okay. You know, claim them.
But you should really be measured properly.
The colonel down 7 pounds. So, leave me alone.
Victoria's Secret makes a nice little cut for that. So, to spring her husband, Tony Joe teamed up with a young man named Harold Burks, mm-hmm. Who was known as Arkansas. So, everybody's got a nickname now.
I bet
he's from Arkansas.
I'd go out on a limb.
So,
wild guess.
She called him Arky.
For short.
Yeah.
She knew him. She had a good role.
Her BFF.
He was in a boy band. He was Arky Ark.
That's how it was?
In a boy band, yeah.
Well, that's cool. And he had served a sentence in Huntsville and was presently absent without leave from the Ark. He was AWOL.
He was AWOL from the Ark. And he had been in prison.
Yeah, he's AWOL, been to prison, winner, winner, chicken dinner. So he claimed a detailed knowledge of the jail, and together they decided that they could do it. They can get him out.
Yeah, so...
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Brain trust there is on it, yeah. And they're going to break out Cowboy from the state pen.
So after their Mensa meeting, they began to contemplate plans. She and her accomplice devised a plan to rob a bank in hopes of securing money to aid in breaking Claude Henry out of jail.
Now you need some capital.
Well, so they're going to rob a bank. They plan to steal a fast car to use in their getaway. None of that horse-drawn carriage bullshit.
No.
They're going to get a fast car.
Sounds reasonable.
Them and Tracy Chapman. They, let's see. They, Arky knew, planned to rob a bank he knew of in a small town in Arkansas to pay for the expenses. They armed themselves with pistols, is there something you'd like to share with the class?
No, please.
Okay. They armed themselves with pistols, which Tony Joe had gotten a couple of acquaintances to steal for her from a gun shop.
Okay.
Posing as newlyweds, Tony Joe and Arky hitchhiked toward Arkansas to their targeted bank.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. By the evening of February 4th, Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day.
I was going to keep this podcast for Valentine's Day since it's a love story and this crime occurred, this murder occurred on Valentine's Day, but I decided to go ahead and do it now.
Well, this is kind of a jacked up script here. Okay. By the, on Valentine's Day, 1940, they were in Orange, Texas, and they were looking for their the right fast car for them to get away in.
Well, they were like, what's her name? What's that song? Fast Cars?
Tracy Chapman.
Yeah,
Tracy Chapman.
Yeah, I already name dropped her.
she did. Oh, okay. She got Tracy first.
Oh, I got her in there.
All right. So, what happened to that girl?
Dude, I don't know.
She's talented, though. I love to hear her sing.
So they finally found it. They found themselves, they found the car they wanted. Joseph P. Calloway was delivering a Ford Coupe V8 to a friend when he happened upon Tony Joe and Arky.
Yeah.
The Ford was perfect for them. New and fast for its day, capable of outrunning the police when the jailbreak came, or so they thought. So it could go, you know, 30.
It was a V8. It probably went 70 miles an hour.
And, you know, I'll try not to get us too far aside. But you know what Bonnie and Clyde, Babyface Nelson, all those guys had in common?
Ford V8 cars.
Mm-hmm. They would steal V8s, and they knew the police could not catch them.
Because the cruisers could not go as fast as the V8.
They knew they could outrun them.
So unaware of
their
plan.
So when you get pulled over and you get caught by the cops, you know what you do? You hit your forehead and you say,
I couldn't have V8.
Yeah.
Wow, no, no, they usually hit me in the head.
Right.
So anyway, tase me, whatever.
You don't get out of many tickets, do you, devil?
Sometimes, because I have nice boobs and I'm smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how she got through college.
There you go. So unaware of their plan, Calloway offered to give the two a ride. As they drove past...
Yeah, because if he was aware of their plan, he probably wouldn't have stopped.
I'm reading the script that you wrote.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Marvin's wife.
This does not sound... You know, this does not bode well for me, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Marvin's wife just stopped listening now. It's not going to get any better. As they were driving past Jennings, Louisiana, Tony Joe and Arky robbed Mr. Calloway at gunpoint. So they're passing through Lake Charles and got out to the countryside. When Tony Joe pulled out her .32 caliber revolver and ordered Mr. Calloway to turn off the main road and onto a quiet country road. She told him to stop. They all got out of the car, where to his amazement, she ordered him to undress. Well, she is a whore.
Boy, I bet he was excited for just a half a second. No, because he'd already been robbed, wasn't he?
Yeah. Arky gathered up his clothes, his watch,
and his money. Think in the back of his mind something kinky might be going on and... There's some hope.
You always think that,
though. You know, and I'll tell you, folks, ain't nothing worse than, and this happens to the Colonel quite often, women making you undress at gunpoint.
You know what? They want to, every time I'm around women, they want to kiss me right on the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Can't swing a dead cat without finding a whore that wants to kiss Timmy on the mouth. All right. So Arky gathered up all this guy's clothes, his watch, his money. It was $15. Tony Joe wanted the clothes for Cowboy to change into when they sprang him because the striped suit was going to be obvious.
Yeah. So it was good thinking on their part. They planned it out.
They were planning. Yeah. They were organizational.
Well, they were planning. Yeah. She ordered Calloway into the trunk and they set off with Arky driving and continued for some distance until Tony Joe found a suitable spot. They got Calloway out of the trunk and she walked him across the field to some haystacks. Now he's excited.
Yeah.
Naked in a cornfield.
Yeah.
She told him to kneel down and say his prayers, then calmly shot him through the head, killing him instantly.
Yeah, why did she do that?
Because she's crazy whore.
No, I mean, it made no sense. They had the car, they had the money, they had the clothes.
Because, honey, she was crazy whore. Yeah, all she had was nice tits and no brains. Because
he was going to call the police, of course.
Nice tits, no brains.
Yeah.
What, you're going to ring up Myrtle on the phone and tell him to get Andy?
Yeah. Well, Tony, Joe, and Arky, they take off in the Ford after shooting the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they drive to Camden, Arkansas, where they originally intended to rob that bank.
Right.
So they book a room in a cheap hotel, which Tony Joe was accustomed to, you know.
Hey,
she was.
Because she was a...
Whore.
All right, thank you, devil.
Wayward young lady.
So while Tony Joe slept, Arky, who had literally soiled himself by Mr. Calloway's cold-blooded killing.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. Wasn't expecting her to shoot the guy.
Yeah, that was one of those. Well, okay, the plan has gone awry.
The plan's gone awry.
Yeah. We never covered this killing thing.
Somewhere they had a good plan up to that point. He escaped from her in the car that they had stolen.
So he took
Calloway's clothes with him, which was not the smartest thing in the world to do. Because if they catch you with the car
and the
with the clothes in the back, you know, they know you done some dastardly deed to the poor man.
Dastardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So murder just was not on this guy's agenda.
Right.
You know, Arky probably, the way I'm picturing Arky.
Arky wanted a piece of tail.
He got a hot, big boob woman next to him. He'll drive all over. Yeah. But you shoot a man like that, Arky smart enough to know, hey, once you get Cowboy, I'm disposable too.
Mm-hmm. So Time to bail on this one.
Yeah, so
if they had cell phones back in the day, he would have blocked her.
He would have blocked her, yeah.
Or unfriended her.
Unfriended her. Yeah, blocked her completely on Facebook. So anyway, he claimed later that he was broke when he met Tony Joe and horny. And just went along with a ludicrous plans because she had nice knockers and it would be easy to get lifts back to Arkansas in the company of a girl with big knockers.
Yeah, they were hitchhiking and figured it was hitchhiking.
Ain't nothing come in handier. Than a girl with big knockers when you're trying to get
something. Well, really almost in any situation.
You know, the whole
Except story shopping, I told last course. Night,
the whole story I told last night, we had to take something back to the store.
Uh-huh.
No receipt. Ain't got the box. Renee go up to the customer service desk, guy working
smiles.
There. Smiles. They would have shot me, Timmy. They would have
had you arrested.
They would have had me erased for shoplifting the damn thing. They would have said, oh, you stole this from the store here. You heard they just smiled.
You hang in there because your boobs are getting bigger.
You hang in there, champ.
You know, listeners, I have to post a picture on the page. The Colonel is not Jabba the Hutt. So anyway, murder not on his agenda. Now, she finds herself deserted, and you know she's not happy about this, so she decides to use the last of the stolen money for a bus ticket back to Shreveport, Louisiana. So she looks up an old friend who ran a brothel there because her work experience was being a
whore.
And persuaded her to go and stay with her aunt. They had clearly realized that Tony Joe was in trouble, but was only able to get a little bit of information out of the
whore.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Now, worried, the aunt decided to tell her brother, who was a policeman, but she found out that he was on vacation. So she explained her concern to a family friend policeman, Sergeant Dave Walker. Walker accompanied the aunt back to a house where he interviewed the
whore.
Okay. Sergeant Walker was aware of Mr. Calloway being reported missing, but completely unprepared for the full confession he was about to hear from
the whore.
You know, it wasn't really well thought out. They killed this guy for no reason. She goes to her aunt's house, and then as soon as the police come, she spills
like a cheap suit.
Yeah.
Well, just because you got nice knockers don't mean you're smart now.
We already went over that. I'm the exception.
She even gave him the revolver with one fired shot and five live rounds still in it.
Probably muzzle out.
Yeah.
Take this.
But Walker was disinclined to believe the woman because no murder been reported, a body been found.
Right.
Or the car. Right.
So he thinks people just randomly walk up and confess to murder?
Yeah, but he decided to be on the safe side to arrest her, and he handed over to the Lake Charles police, who took her out in the car to try to locate the body.
Well, you know, we talk about so many times of people reported being picked up by serial killers or abused or something, and police just kind of blow them off. So maybe
sometimes the serial killers and the killers are saying, "Yeah, I did. Here's a body."
Had they been picked up in Manitowoc County?
Oh, they never.
James Avery would have picked him right up.
Oh yeah, they pick him up no matter what.
Well, eventually they located the correct spot, and Mr. Calloway's body was found and properly put to rest. And the bullet taken from him was recovered at the autopsy and found to match the gun. The Ford coupe was discovered abandoned in Arkansas. Arky just ditched that car. And it still had his clothes in it and cigarette butts with the
whore
lipstick on it. So Tony Joe was formally charged with murder, but refused to give any details of her accomplice because she was displeased
at the way she was being reported in the press.
Well, you got to worry about your press. You got to worry about your ink.
Well, her PR person was not doing
the job.
Yeah, it is about the ink. So eventually, she was persuaded to talk, and Archie, poor dumb bastard, was soon arrested. He was brought back to Louisiana and charged with murder, too. They were tried separately, however.
Yeah, it didn't turn out well for either one of them, though.
Well, Tony Joe's trial started in Lake Charles in 1940. It was a huge press event. And she was described in the press as a sultry, pretty brunette.
Ooh.
When, in fact, she was just a
whore.
Don't say that.
Okay. In it, she tried to shift the blame for the killing onto Archie. But the jury didn't believe her. After deliberating for 7 hours, she was found guilty of murder and sentenced to
whore death.
Whore death.
No, she was sentenced to what?
Death.
Death, okay.
Death. Whore death.
Whore death.
Not whore death.
What?
That's cruel and unusual.
She's not your kid.
Are you her attorney for Christ's sake?
No, nobody's attorney. She couldn't pass the bar.
I didn't take the bar. She's misguided. She's a little confused, a little misguided. Had a bad back.
I think you're a little confused.
Well, she appealed on the grounds that the trial judge had permitted conduct prejudicial to her case.
See?
And on a side note here,
another story.
No, the judge just said, hey, if you could, I ain't wearing nothing. He called a sidebar with Tony up there, said, I got nothing underneath my robes. If you want to crawl under here, this was at the sentencing.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
You want to crawl under here and see, you know, maybe I'll go a little bit easy on her. But there was people in the courtroom. The judge got performance anxiety. Nothing happened, so
that's
he sentenced
actually
her to
nothing
death.
Nothing like what happened.
No,
at all.
Not at all. Ever. This is totally made up on your part.
Yeah. But it would have been cool if it really did happen.
But it didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not it. No.
Well, she actually was granted a retrial because the judge was found playing with his tallywhacker during the first trial. So Archie testified against her, and the jury the second time took only an hour to convict her. Again, the death sentence was pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
And again, somehow, the
whore
appealed and won.
Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, she's going down like the Titanic if she's getting this many appeals. But anyway, her third trial took place in January 1942 with, by now, the usual outcome. She knows what the outcome is going to be. She knows what the sentence is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, the Supreme Court saw no reason to overturn anybody. And the lawyers challenged the constitutionality of her sentence. So she had been going through the courts. Louisiana changed its execution method from hanging to electrocution. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The court found that this was in line with the Constitution, however, and the state governor let it be known that there would be no reprieve. Now, while various courts rumbled on Tony Joe, Tony Joe had been incarcerated in the Lake Charles prison. She was baptized.
There it is.
God bless her.
Yeah. And
God did bless her.
She was baptized by Father Wayne Richard, a Catholic priest.
Good man.
Who attended her.
Good man. You know this guy?
Man
and
of
then
the Lord.
He threw some holy water.
Holy Father.
It left a big, ugly burn scar. On the
whore
side of her face.
Man, it'll be nice to talk to you. You are mean.
So, you know, that her soul ain't going nowhere but down.
No. She's in heaven looking over us now.
Oh, for the love of all that's good and holy.
Yeah, now towards the end, she granted an interview to reporters where she tried to explain her feelings towards Cowboy. She also made a sworn statement saying that it was her who shot Mr. Calloway.
Yeah, I think
and
you
a final
that.
Bid to clear Archie. Tony Joe said that Cowboy had to get help, had to get that damn cocaine monkey off my back.
Ah.
Which,
I mean,
that makes no sense.
I hate the cocaine monkey.
Yeah,
throws
the cocaine
poop.
Monkey. And they scratch and leave.
Yeah,
I mean,
they leave marks
on your back.
I mean, he helped her out. She's the only guy that ever loved her. He took care of her.
She claimed the cowboy had saved her life and was the only person to ever love her and even treat her like a human being.
Right.
And
I'm tired of hearing her sob story.
Yeah, she said she would rather die. She'd rather die then see him spend the rest of his life put away in a cage.
Aww.
And as Tony Joe's date with Death Fast approach, it was Cowboy's turn to ride to the rescue.
Yeah, that's what
we're as doing. He should, since yeah, he is Cowboy. Because
he's a cowboy. Just before Thanksgiving 1942.
On a steel horse he rides.
Five days before Tony Joe was scheduled to become the first and only
whore
to die in Louisiana's electric chair, Cowboy and an accomplice busted out of jail. His plan was to kidnap the judge who had given the death sentence and hold him hostage until Tony Joe went free.
So, yet again, another well thought out plan.
Yeah.
But well, if he had done that in the first place, you wouldn't have killed the guy. You wouldn't have done any of that.
Yeah, he was waiting until the last. I mean, he was letting the suspense build.
Yeah.
Makes it better for a better story. But police rounded up the two idiots in the Beaumont Hotel before they could put their plan into effect.
They probably wanted to dance.
Yeah.
Cowboy well, they heard they had a good buffet there, breakfast buffet, so they wanted to check it out.
Continental breakfast.
Yeah. Cowboy was taken back to prison with his head hanging low because he had failed to save the
The lovely Tony Joe.
So, although authorities were upset with all the trouble the couple had caused, they did break the rules to allow the couple to speak one last time on the telephone, where Whatever. She employed her
boobies,
her whore talents to.
No, they get to talk on the
apparently
phone.
Apparently, they had phone sex one no. time, one yeah. last time.
What did she tell him when she talked to him on the phone?
I love you, baby.
Yeah. He asked, what are you wearing, baby?
No, no, no.
And
come
she
on.
Said,
the truth. Get to the truth.
All right.
I love you, honey.
She told him, hurry up and get out of that prison suit and walk out the front door like a man so your mother will be proud of you. Go straight and make something of your life.
He was giving him good advice.
Wow, yeah. Listen to you.
Well, that's the colonel doing a dumb big boob.
You sound like you got a vajayjay.
He usually sounds that way.
Now, Tony Joe was oddly cheerful on the next day, November 28th, 1942, while we were in the midst of a horrible war.
Horrible.
Quipping with reporters and photographers as they snapped her jailhouse now, portrait.
Here's a picture of her, Colonel, and I'll post it on our Facebook page. That's the day she was executed. Doesn't she look relaxed?
She does look relaxed.
She looks very relaxed.
And they asked her, she said to the photographers, I've smiled twice, mister. Have you any idea how much talent is being wasted here today?
She was very talented.
She's a whore.
How much? Do you have any idea how much
whore
talent is being wasted here today?
You guys are so mean.
Now, here's the funny thing. When you get the death penalty, and I've told you this before, especially the electric chair, they stuff your ass with cotton. Because you soil yourself, and they don't want to have to clean up the mess afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And with her...
Doesn't the missus do that to you every night anyway?
Apparently, with her, they had to use... You know, heard the term, the whole nine yards?
No,
you know how you
no,
buy
no,
cotton
no.
in bulk?
You're
apparently, because
up.
She was such a...
Whore?
No. They had to use the whole nine yards on
no.
her. A whole bolt of cloth.
But they did, cut her hair off.
Why did they do that? Well, I guess so they could get the charge through.
Yeah, and she was upset about that.
So for her last wishes, she asked only that her death row companion, a small black and white puppy, be given to a niece that she be buried with a crucifix in her left hand because she needed her right hand when she got to hell to be a...
Handmaiden.
That's right. Now, when asked if she had any last words, she said, I believe not.
I believe I can fly.
No, she said, I believe not. While waiting execution, Tony Joe admitted she had lied about Burks and that she had been the killer. Burks got the chair anyway. So, didn't do Archie any good.
So, Archie got fried.
But there's a happy ending to this story.
Okay.
About 2 years after Tony Joe's death, heartbroken cowboy, I mean, his heart was just literally broken. Was paroled.
Man, if they waited 2 years, they'd been together anyway.
Well, if they would have waited 3 months later, they were actually together because he got gunned down on a Dallas street.
There you go.
So which is fitting for a cowboy. It's a fitting way for a cowboy.
So he got paroled and then he got gunned down. So he's in heaven with Tony Joe now.
Yeah.
So that's the story of Tony Joe and the cowboy. Brandy, what are your... You have any final thoughts of Tony
Jones? She's a whore.
No, I mean, think about it. It wasn't well planned out.
No, it wasn't well planned out. You know what the thing is? She wasn't real bright. She got by on her boobs. And
she didn't really... I mean, it doesn't look like she had big boobs, though. She was just very attractive.
Well, look. Wasn't well thought out. This was... It's like if I sat down with Noah and we were going to plan a robbery, and I let Noah plan it out.
Well, I mean, some of it made sense.
Drive and gave Noah the gun.
Yeah.
Some of it made sense. She needed money. She needed a fast car.
She has impulse control issues.
She needed weapons. But, you know, killing the...
That sounds like she got impulse control issues.
Killing the... I mean, killing the guy for no reason just made no sense.
No, there was plenty of reasons. He was a loose end.
I think... Well, no. I mean, I think she knew it was a... I think she knew it was a bad idea from the beginning. Just going out, but she...
This is why I don't have...
There was just a meanness in the woman, Tim.
No,
this is why I thank God I don't have daughters.
No, hold on just a goddamn minute. There's just a meanness in a woman who puts the man on his knees and shoots him right between the eyes. And Timmy says,
No.
You know what? Misunderstood.
Because he could have dated her.
Mm-hmm.
No. Here's the thing, though.
Look, she's attractive. You know, we should be... I'm all for the death penalty, just not for attractive women.
Look, she...
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's been a lot of stuff, and me and Timmy came up with a plan. There's been a lot in the news about the Syrian refugees.
Right.
And how are you going to vet them? You know, how do we know that we're not letting terrorists
just
into the
like
country?
You do in a club in Midtown Manhattan. You have a bouncer at the border, and if they look hot, you let them in.
You let the hot ones in.
Yeah.
If they're built nice, the hot, you let them in.
But this is why I'm glad I don't have daughters, because I know...
Because they turn into whores.
Well, that, and when I, you know, when I was...
Not a whore.
When I was that age...
Well, I guess
age,
she was a whore, but...
Yeah. When I was that age, it was, you know, everything was, but I love him. I love him so much. We're going to be together forever.
And imagine if you had a gun.
No.
Yeah.
And you
do have a lot of drama. That's
you do kind of have impulse control problems.
I haven't slapped you yet, so I think we're doing all
the
right.
The morphine helps, though.
You haven't slapped
morphine
me today.
Helps
you
have,
in fact, slapped me before.
In fact, I have.
Okay, so we get a lot of...
those are my final thoughts. I'm like Jerry Springer.
Okay, well, we have a lot. We get a lot of comments, and so I'll just ask you these questions. People want to know how we know each other. So do you want to address that?
We don't.
we just randomly started this podcast.
We all work together. We all work together at the same
place. And we've known each other.
I was not going to mention where. Okay. We've known each other about 3.5, going on, 4 years?
Well,
we have known each other.
The devil and I have known each other for going on 12 years now, roughly.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. And I've known you guys for about almost four.
Yes.
3.5.
Yes.
Okay. Then they want to know, are we really mean to you all the time?
Yes.
No, we love you.
First of all, let's establish something. I am the best judge of you if you all are mean to me all the time. No, you don't get to say no.
I think we can do.
But why are we mean to you? Why are we mean to you? Because you are a...
I'm not a whore.
We're not mean to you.
We're not mean to the devil in our jobs.
No, they're good guys. I won't tell them that any other time, but they're good guys, and we tend
to... People aren't worried that we're mean to you.
We have each other's backs. We're good friends.
Yes.
We're kind of like the... you know, it's kind of like brothers and sisters, and it, you know, I can say bad things about Brandy.
Kind of like Lenny and Squiggy.
No, it's not like that.
I can say anything I want about Brandy, but nobody else can say anything bad about the devil. And it's kind of like that, although, you know, in brothers and sisters, you have favorites. And Timmy's obviously my favorite.
Clearly.
Everyone's.
But, yeah.
And we're dysfunctional.
And we like to line up and team up against the devil because, well, she has the power of evil of... exponentially more evil than we are.
Yeah. So the other question we get is, which is your favorite podcast? What topic?
I don't remember most of the podcasts.
Never listened to them.
I don't listen to anything.
You know I have, and I hate the sound of my voice. Yeah. And I'm high right now. I couldn't tell you. I very much, though, enjoyed this last one that we did with the
Catherine?
Yeah.
Did I say it right that time?
I like Jonas Salk.
Of course she did.
I like the Sultana myself.
That one sucked.
That one sucked.
No, you know my favorite is Rasputin. I think that was my favorite.
I liked Rasputin. I actually liked Pissy.
Oh, Pissy Coleman?
Pissy was a good one.
You know what, though? I have fun on all of them. I look forward to doing these. So,
and really, I do, too. And, like, when someone asks me that, it's like, whatever one I'm working on at the time, that's my favorite one.
Right.
You know, until we do it. Okay, so that's all for now. We have important things to do. What's on TV?
Oh, what's the, you know, the Blacklist came on last night.
So we got a pretty big weekend. We'd like to thank all of you for listening. And where can people find us, Brandy?
They can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and someday on YouTube.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Yeah, but we are not trying. Chuck alleges that he's putting us on there, but
yeah, we haven't seen it yet. But we're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter, and Brandy's Twitter is, you can find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
Mm-hmm.
I, this weekend, will be going to Louisiana to place some roses on the grave of young Tony Joe Henry to pay my respects.
Of course you will.
All right, Colonel, any last words of wisdom from you?
I pretty much used all my wisdom today, Tim.
Okay. And his words.
Okay. You're working on that man brawl, and we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.